Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Ayin Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we began a Tanaic source that started at the bottom of Ayin Ches Amud Beis. Today's shiur will begin from the third line from the top of Daf Ayin Tes, as we said, in the middle of a Tanaic source. The general topic that we are discussing concerns deficiencies or those aspects that render a sacrifice invalid, psulim, different types of psulim that occur in a korban todah. The korban todah is that kind of korban that there accompanies 40 loaves. If a psul develops in the slaughtering of the animal that's the basis of the korban todah, then the issue is, do the loaves that accompany the korban todah become sanctified? In our previous shiur, at the end, we featured Shitas Rebbe Meir, and he presented a machlokes Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yeshua in the case of an animal that was slaughtered and found to be blemished. Rebbe Eliezer said, in such a case, the breads are sanctified, and Rebbe Yeshua said, no. We pick up the Gemara now on the third line from the top of Ayin Tes, Omar Rebbe Yehuda, Lo Nechliku Rebbe Eliezer Rebbe Yeshua. On the following points, there are 3 points that are enumerated, and you can see that with the numbering that we've supplied in between the lines of the Gemara, they do not argue on Al Shishochto V'Nimtzeis Trefa Shelo Kidesh, if they shechted the Korban Toda, the animal, and found an internal deficiency known as a Trefa. In such a case, the breads that accompany the toda that one expected to be sanctified with the shechita, with the slaughtering, but since the slaughtering here revealed that the animal was a trefa, the breads do not become sanctified. A second point, the alchutz lizmano shekidesh. There is agreement that if the animal was slaughtered with an intention of eating at the wrong time, beyond its appropriated time, the breads do become sanctified. Three, the albalmum shelo kidesh. It's shechted and found to be, the animal is slaughtered and found to be blemished. There is agreement, and you'll notice this is a point of difference between Rabbi Yehuda's approach and Rabbi Meir. Here, regarding found to be balmum, there is agreement that the breads are not sanctified. The alma nechliku alchutz lemakoymai. The point of machlokis being Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua concerns where the animal was shechted with a mindset, an incorrect mindset concerning place, whereas a korban is to be consumed in a specific location, and since we're talking about a korban toda, it means within Yerushalayim. If he intends to have the korban eaten outside of Yerushalayim, that's called chutz lemakomo. What effect does this incorrect mindset at the time of slaughtering have with regard to the sanctification of the loaves? Shreb Elezer Omer Kidesh. Shreb Elezer says, the loaves nevertheless are sanctified. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Lo Kidesh. The mindset of Chutz Limkomo at the time of Shechita prevents the loaves from achieving their sanctification. And as the Brisa continues, you'll notice there's quite a bit of squiggle underlining that takes place. We're going to try to keep track of the back and forth discussion between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, each one trying to advance their own points. Amar Rabbi Lezer, Hoyo v'chutz lizmano posel, v'chutz lemkomo posel. We know that the incorrect mindset of time and that of place render the sacrifice unfit. Ma chutz lizmano kidesh. Just like in the case of chutz lizmano, you agree that the breads are nevertheless sanctified. Af chutz lumkomo kidesh, so too with the mindset of out of place also affords sanctification. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, he argues back, hoyo v'chutz lumkomo posel u'bal mum posel. Ma balmum lo kidesh, just like you agree that when slaughtered and found to be blemished, the breads are not sanctified, af chutzlum komo lo kidesh, so too with regard to wrong place, there should be no sanctification. Like I say, Amar lo Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer responds, ani demisihu, compared, I compared it, lechutz lezmano, I compared the chutzlum komo to chutzlezmano, v'ato demiso lebalmum, and you compared chutzlum komo to blemish. Nira lemi doma. So let's evaluate which is chutz lemkomo more closely similar to. Im doime lechutz lezmano, nidonenu mechutz lezmano. And there will be sanctification. In other words, if we reveal that chutz lemkomo is like chutz lezmano, so then we will allow chutz lezmano to serve as the precedent, and the breads will be sanctified. Im doime lebalmum, if chutz lemkomo is more similar to the issue of balmum, then nidonenu mi balmum, and there will be no sanctification. Hischil Rabbi Lezer Lodun. So Rabbi Lezer starts his analysis. Donin psul machshava mi psul machshava. Let us compare the deficiency that's of deficiency of place, which is a matter of mindset. Mi psul machshava, from another case of mindset, namely chutz lezmano. And we said that in the case of chutz lezmano there is a sanctification. The ein donin psul machshava mi psul haguf, and let us not determine the issue of makom from baal mum. They're unlike topics. The issue of chutz lemkomo is a mindset. The issue of animal founding to be blemished is a physical reality. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer sticks to his guns and says that chutz lemkomo will result in sanctification, just like chutz lezmano. Hischa Rabbi Yeshua lodu. Now, Rabbi Yeshua responds, donin psul she'ein bo kores mi psul she'ein bo kores. Let us determine chutz lemkomo, which is a type of offense, that if one processes a korban with that mindset and then eats from the sacrifice, there is no kores penalty. So let us determine chutz lemkomo from a precedent that's similar in that sense, where there is no kores penalty, and that would be the case of a blemished sacrifice. One who, let us say, eats a blemished sacrifice, or offers a blemished sacrifice, there is no kores in that offense. V'al yochia chutz lezmano she psul sheyesh bo kores, and we will not let chutz lezmano prove our case, which is something that does carry with it a kores penalty. So it's with regard to penalty level, chutz lemkomo is more closely similar to the baal mum, not chutz lezmano. V'oid, and Rabbi Yeshua further states, ni donenu mishalo lishmoi, let us learn chutz lemkomo from another type of deficiency, that of shalo lishmo, where we know that if the korban toda is slaughtered with another korban in mind, that's called lo lishmo. We know in the case of lo lishmo there is no sanctification, and I would like to suggest learning chutz lemkomo from lo lishmo. Why? Shepsul machshava v'ein bo kores. Here you have a double advantage. The shalo lishmo is similar to chutz lemkomo in the sense that it's both a deficiency of mindset and there is no kores penalty. And this is a winning argument on the part of Rabbi Yeshua. V'shosak Rabbi Lezer, and Rabbi Lezer remained silent. Apparently, Rabbi Lezer accepting Rabbi Yeshua's final point. The Gemara now turns to analyze Rabbi Meir in his presentation of the earlier Tana Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Meir had said, according to Rabbi Eliezer, where it's an animal slaughtered and found to be a baal mum, that there is sanctification of the bread. The question the Gemara raises is why in Nimtzeis Baal Mum, found to be blemished, there is sanctification, whereas found to be a trefa, which we describe as a certain realm of internal organ deficiencies, where there is no sanctification. For Rebbe Meir, turning to the Gemara, my shno, what is different about shochta v'nimtzeis trefa? To have a psulo koidem shchita. The problem of trefa is a psul that developed before, that existed before the slaughtering, and therefore there is no sanctification of the breads. Umayishna shochta v'nimseis balas mum de lo have a psulo koidem shchita. And why is it that you view the slaughtering of an animal found to be a bal mum as being like a deficiency that's not prior to the shechita? At first glance, it appears that an animal that's blemished is also a deficiency that existed before the shechita, no different than the deficiency of trefa. So why the different standard? Once again, when it comes to nimtzeis trefa, you agree, you say, Rabbi Lezer will say, according to Rabbi Meir, that there is no sanctification, and yet when it's nimtzeis baal mum, there is. When, after all, both of these problems of mum and trefa are psulim that existed before shechita. The Gemara answers, the case of the nimtzeis baal mum that Rabbi Eliezer says, kidesh, bedukin sheba'ayin, valibid Rabbi Kiva, de omar im olu, lo yerdu. The baal mum here is a very specific situation of a blemish. It's an eye problem called dukin sheba'ayin. It's a type of eye problem. And in the eye of the animal, this dukin sheba'ayin is discovered. And according to Rabbi Akiva, an animal like that, that's slaughtered and found to have this dukin shebayin, we say, if its limbs are brought on the mizbeach, they remain there. So that that shows us that this kind of mum is not a severe type of mum, in the sense that the animal does have a certain level of sanctity, enough sanctity that if the limbs are brought on the mizbeach, they can remain there. Being that that's the case, we say that slaughtering an animal that has this dukin shebayin problem, the accompanying loaves also can become sanctified. For Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, though, that all opinions agree Baal Mum is lo kidesh, what's his response to Rabbi Meir? And especially Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir's version of Rabbi Eliezer. So he says, ki omar Rabbi Akiva im olu lo yerdu, when Rabbi Akiva says that point, that if the limbs are brought up, they remain on the mizbeach, that's bipsula de gufe. That's fine with regard to the deficiency as far as the animal itself is concerned. So as far as the animal itself is concerned, that's psula de gufe. So we say that if it's brought up, it remains there. However, but it's to go so far as to say that this kind of blemished animal has the capacity of sanctifying the breads that are merely accompanying the animal, that far we don't go. As you can see, we have a slash mark in the Gemara, indicating that that which follows is a new discussion. Itmar, chatas sheshochta, chutz lizmano, im also lo tered. A sin offering that's slaughtered with a wrong time mindset, if the limbs or the innards of the sin offering are brought on the mizbeach, they remain there. Chutz limkoma, if the animal is slaughtered, the sin offering is slaughtered with a wrong place time mindset, Rava Omar Tered, Rab Omar Lo Tered. Here we have a machlokis. Rava, Kerebi Yeshua, Rava, who said the limbs shall be taken off, or the innards shall be taken off the Mizbeach. That's because he views the Chutz Limkomo as did Rabbi Yoshua. And we saw Rabbi Yoshua before indicating that the breads are not sanctified, so that the Chutz Limkomo is a type of mindset that does not allow the sanctification of the breads. And with that same trend of thought, if it's brought on the Mizbeach, we say there's lacking of sanctity, so it's the innards are taken off the Mizbeach. They don't have sufficient holiness to remain there. The Rabbah, Karebi Eliezer, Rabbah, who said that a Chutz Limkomo mindset, if the innards are brought on the Mizbeach, they remain there, indicating they have a certain level of sanctity, that will conform to Rebbe Eliezer's approach to Chutz Limkomo, who said before that the breads of the Korban Toda that's shechted with the Chutz Limkomo mindset do gain sanctity. At this point, we have a little house marking. This house marking is explained on the outside margin under the Mivneh heading. Shtei Lishoinois, there will be two versions. E Hodar Bei Rabo Lerovo. Does Rabo accept Rava's approach? Kidahodar Bei Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shua, just like Rabbi Lezer reversed his opinion to then agree with Rabbi Yoshua. So the first lashon is that in fact Rabo does back off. The Hodar Bei Rabo, who we paralleled with Rabbi Eliezer, well, he Hodar is to return or to turn away from, to back off. Hodar Bei Rabo Ligabi de Rava, he Rabo accepts Rava's approach. Mido Hodar Bei Rabbi Eliezer Ligabi de Rabbi Yeshua, just like Rabbi Eliezer, we saw in the source above when it said Shosak Rabbi Eliezer, he eventually accepted Rabbi Yeshua's approach. So the Amora who parallels Rabbi Eliezer, namely Rabo, will turn around to accept Rava who paralleled Rabbi Yeshua. The Ika the Amri, another version says, Afal Gav the Hodar Bei Rabbi Eliezer Legabi Yeshua, even though Rabbi Eliezer backed off from his original opinion to accept Rabbi Yeshua, as we saw above, Rabbo Legabi de Rovo Lo Hodar Bei, but Rabbo is not going to back off to hold like Rava. And the Gemara gives a very incisive reason. Hosam, in the case of the question of sanctification of the Lachmei Todah breads, who the Ka'omar lay there, Rabbi Yeshua had said to Rabbi Yazir, Ni donenu mishalo lishmo. Let's use as our standard how we deal with sanctification of breads in the case of a Korban Todah sacrifice with a low lishmo mindset. And the result was, just like in the low lishmo mindset, there is no sanctification, so too in shelo limkomo. Avol hocha, but in the case of descent from Mizbeach, which is the issue that Rova and Rabba were arguing about, idainis lei mishelo lishmoi, if you are going to try to determine chutz limkoma in the case of a chatos that was shechted shelo lishma, what's going to happen is im also loy tered, if the limbs were brought up, they will not come down. In other words, that's because you're talking about a chatos shelo lishmo. And when you talk about a chatos shelo lishmo, the problem of lo lishmo, since by other korbonos we say they are brought up lichatchila, you're supposed to bring up the limbs of a sacrifice that's done shelo lishmo, when it comes to a korban chatos, even though it passels the korban, but there, if the limbs are brought up, they will certainly not come down. So the way we deal with lo lishmo in the context of sanctification of toda breads is different than the way we will deal with lo lishmo in the context of a korban chatos and the need to take it off the mizbeach. So therefore, though I could understand that a lo lishmo by the korban toda will not sanctify the breads, that same opinion will not say, with regard to the limbs of a chatos that was done shelo lishmo, that the limbs likewise have no sanctification and shall be taken off, because that's not the case. Because in the case of lo lishmo of the chatos, if the limbs go up, they will not come down, as we explained earlier. Shachta shelo lishmo. And the Mishnah went on to say, V'chein el ha-milu'im. In the case of the milu'im, the dedication of the Mishkan, there were sacrifices brought together, accompanying them were breads. And that's true in the case of the ram offering during the time of the dedication of the Mishkan. Omar of Papa, Shovak Tana Didan el Nazir, Dishchiach. Our Tana, in citing additional examples of sacrifices that have accompanying breads needing sanctification, left off the case of the Nazir ram offering, which is a korban that also has loaves of bread accompanying it, but did not cite that example, even though it's shchiach, it's noheg ledoros, that means it's something that is not a one-time event. V'nokin el hamiluim, and yet the Tana did cite as an example the el miluim, which is just a one-time in history example. And the question is, why did the Tana make such a choice? Why did he cite as an additional example of things similar to a korban toda? He cited a one-time in history sacrifice, and did not cite the case of the el nazir. The Gemara answers, V'tana didan, our Tana, Iker Milsa Nokad. He chose, the Iker means first, the first time in history that there was an issue of Kedushas Lechem together with a sacrifice that happened to be the El Hamiluim. So that's why he used that as his example. The Mishnah, Hanesochim Shikitshu Bikli, V'nimtza Zevach Posel. Nesochim are the wine offering that accompanies many sacrifices. So, nesachim that were sanctified in a vessel, in a Beis HaMikdash vessel. V'nimtza zevach posel, and the korban turned out to be unfit. The korban that this wine was supposed to accompany. So, the Mishnah says, im yesh zevach achir yakrivu imo, if there's another sacrifice that needs nesachim, so use this wine for that second sacrifice, for that other sacrifice. V'im lanu yifsilu belina, if he allows the wine to stay overnight, the wine will become posel belina, means that's for the psul, the deficiency of staying beyond its time. Omar Ziri, Ein Hanesochim Miskachin Ela Beshchitas Azevach. Ziri tells us that the wine does not become sanctified until the accompanying sacrifice is slaughtered. My Taima, what's the basis for Ziri's teaching? That there's no kiddush of the wine until the animal, the sacrifice, is slaughtered. Omar Kro, Zevach. The word zevach means the korban, and it also connotes sacrificing. So there's the sacrificing, and then the nesachim become sanctified. Tnan, we have a Tanaic source, hanesachim shekitshu bekli, v'nimtza zevach posel, wine offerings that were sanctified in a vessel, and the animal that the wine was supposed to accompany turned out to be unfit. If there's another sacrifice in the Azorah that needs wine, So the wine shall accompany it. V'imlav yifslu belina. And if not, the wine that was dedicated to the sacrifice that was found to be pusel, that wine will become pusel if left overnight. My lav, the ifsel b'shchita. This source that spoke about the sacrifice becoming pusel, is it not so that it became pusel b'shchita, that there was a problem at the point of the slaughtering? Now we have to explain more information. If the sacrifice became pusel at the point of shchita, then why should lina set in? Why should lina be a threat to the wine whatsoever? After all, if the korban became pusel at shchita, the slaughtering would be so insignificant as a legitimate slaughtering so as to sanctify the wine. So if the shchita is insignificant and the wine does not become sanctified, so then why would the psul of lina be able to take hold? After all, lina is a problem only for something that has a degree of holiness. But if the psul took place at shchita, then why would the wine become subject to the psul of lina? So, whereas Ze'iri says sanctification of the wine takes place at the shchita, and it's based on this pasuk, Zevach u'nesachim, we have difficulty understanding that when the shchita is no good, why does the wine nevertheless seem to be sanctified? The Gemara answers, loy, meaning, in fact, if there is a problem in the slaughtering, the wine does not become sanctified. What is then meant in this brisa, which says, or in this Mishnah's quote, that says that nimsa zevach posel, it's the ifsil bezrika. The psul, the deficiency, took place at the point of the blood sprinkling. Therefore, at the point of the slaughtering, it was fine, and therefore the wine became sanctified. Since the wine became sanctified, it's easy for us to understand that it's subject to the psul of lina, being that we're talking about sanctified wine having this sensitivity accorded to holy items. Therefore, it's sensitive to the problem of being left over. The psul referred to in the Mishnah was a psul that arose later at the sprinkling time. The Gemara asks, however, this is not poshet. Keman, this analysis will fit according to whom? Karebi, are you suggesting that this is a shitas yochid, meaning only according to Rebbe, the Omar? Rebbe holds shnei dvorim hamatirin. When you have a sacrifice that has two requirements in order for it to become mutter, to become accepted. For example, in a standard sacrifice, you have the shchita, the slaughtering, and the zrika, the sprinkling of the blood. Those are shnei dvarim hamatirin. Rebbe says, ma'alin ze belo ze, that even one of the actions cause it to achieve a certain level of sanctity. So, in this case, we're describing a korban that the shchita was fine. The problem arises only in the zrika. So you have only one of the matirin being effective. Rebbe holds, okay, even if you have only one of the matirin in place, that's done properly, it achieves a level of sanctity. However, according to the Bar Plukta of Rebbe, whose name we'll see very shortly, Reb Elazar ben Shimon, then this analysis won't His analysis on this issue would then suggest that there is no sanctification. So are we to say that the Mishnah that we just learned is only according to Rebbe? The Gemara says, Afilu Tema Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimo. We can explain this Mishnah according to him as well. He who says that when you have two matirin, you have to have both done properly in order for sanctification to take hold. Hocha b'mayaskinon, the case here where the wine does gain sanctity, as witnessed by the fact that there's a psul lina. What is the case? And we have to, in order to preserve ze'iri, we have to say that the shechita was done all right. So hocha b'mayaskinon, what is the case here? Kedoin shekibel domon bekois. The Kabbalah Saddam took place properly. It was the blood was received in the kois, the receptacle vessel. The nishbach, and the blood spilled out. In other words, it didn't reach zrika. It's not that there was a deficiency in the zrika. It simply didn't reach the physical zrika stage. However, before we go any further, let's remind ourselves that we're dealing with Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, a very important name as we continue. The Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, Sovar lo kavosei de'avua, and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon holds like his father, Rebbe Shimon, that holds, kol ha'oimei lizrok kizorok domi. Anything that's about to be sprinkled, any blood that's about to be sprinkled, is considered already sprinkled. So once we have the blood in the kais, awaiting sprinkling, in your mind's eye, it has been sprinkled. So what our source is describing is a korban that had wine brought along with it. The slaughtering was done properly. That is only one of two matirin. The sprinkling didn't actually take place, but since in our mind's eye, we say, kol oimei lizrok kizorok domi, the sprinkling too is considered done. And therefore, you have shnei matirin that are accomplished. And therefore, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon can also see how the wine becomes sanctified. And therefore, be subject to a psul lina. Before we go on in the Gemara, let us take advantage of our topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei. We have written in Shimush b'nesochim shel korban zeh shenimtza posel l'shem korban acher. We're going to focus on that which was mentioned in the source we saw just before, that namely that if there's another korban, when our first sacrifice became posel, so we say that the wine that was brought there, if you have another korban, so use it. Instead of letting it sit around to become posel belina, use it for the other sacrifice. As we continue in the Gemara, we will notice triangles. These are explained under our Mivnes heading, the structural note that explains the different geometric forms in the marking system as they arise. Notice under our Mivneh, we have a triangle featured, and the word in parentheses, Ma'akav. We're going to use the triangles here, being that we will vary their directions as a means of Ma'akav, keeping track. So with the point facing up, they represent questions, and the point facing down will be responses. And this give and take section of Gemara will last till the next Mishnah, as you can see, till the Mishnah on in the wide lines. Omar Mar, we turn to the third line from the top of Amud Beis, the quote from the Mishnah, Im Yesh Zevach Achir Yikrivu Imo. If there's another sacrifice that needs a wine offering, an accompanying wine offering, I can use the wine that was dedicated for sacrifice one, and now, since it sacrifice one has become posel, use the wine for sacrifice two. The Gemara now asks, V'ho Omar Rav Chisto, Shemen Shifrishu L'shumin Chose, Posel L'shumin Chacheres. If I have oil that was set aside, that was dedicated for a particular meal offering, you're not allowed to use that oil for a different meal offering, for a different mincha. So we see that one's not allowed to transfer one to the other. Answer, Omar Rabbi Yanai, Lev Beis Din Masna Alehem. There's an understood condition that's built in when it comes to the wine, that if the wine, the wine at the point that it's dedicated to Korban 1, the condition, the understood condition is that if it's used for Korban 1, that's fine. And if it's for some reason not used for Korban 1, it can be used for Korban 2. As follows, Im Hutzruchu Hutzruchu. If it's used, if the wine is needed for Korban 1, then fine, then it's used. V'im lav, yeh, look, zevach acher. And if it's not used for Korban 1, then let it be for Korban number 2. Question, I hachi shemen ami. So if that be the case, why not say this lev based in masnaleim theory with regard to the oil? Why do we say that the oil is unfit for an alternative for a second Korban mincha? Answer, shemen gufa de minchahu. The shemen is part of the basic meal offering itself. So it's not something that we start with this condition of Lev Bezdin as applying to it. Since the oil is needed as part of the dough of the mincha itself, it's not a mere accompanying element, but part of the mincha itself, therefore it's treated with this higher standard. Question, V'lisnu aleim denifku l'chulin. Why not make a condition that if the nesachim are not used for Korban 1, instead of the need to seek out a second Korban, why not say that they become chulin, mundane? Answer, Gzeiro Shemo Yomru Motzien Mikli Shores L'choyol. People, if we said it goes L'chulin, people will see wine that was put into a service vessel, not realizing that a condition was made. They will think that in general one can take from service vessels and transfer them to mundane vessels. That happens to be an offense. Therefore, even where a condition is built in, which would, technically speaking, allow this transfer to take place, because if the condition is stated, then we would retroactively say that if it's not needed for the original korban, then it's chulin, meaning that it never really received sanctification, so I would be able to transfer it. But nevertheless, as we said, people aren't going to realize that it was done with a condition, and they'll think automatically you can, as matter of procedure, transfer from Kli Kodesh to Kli Chol, and that is not allowed. Question, Hashtonami, but now too, where we say that if it's not used for sacrifice 1, it can be used for sacrifice 2, but isn't there a problem of what people will say even now? Hashtonami, why not say the following? Gzeiro, Shemo, Yomru, Nesochim, Shefrishon, Lashum, Zevach, Zeh, Ksherim, Lashum, Zevach, Acher. People see me using the wine from that was dedicated to the first sacrifice, and now using it for a second sacrifice, they will think, well, in general, you can switch from one korban to another, not realizing that in our case, he was able to switch because there was a deficiency, there was a psul. But people will think that you can, as a matter of procedure, transfer even without a psul. The Gemara answers, this fear does not arise. Ha Tani Metasya ben Yehuda. Metasya ben Yehuda teaches the following: Kegoin shehoya zevach zavuach ba'oisa shah. When we talk about the nesachim being used for a second sacrifice, we're talking about a second sacrifice that was slaughtered right then and there at the time of the slaughtering of the first sacrifice, namely the sacrifice to which this wine was dedicated. We say if a problem arises with regard to the sacrifice to which it was dedicated, you can use it for another sacrifice, but not just any other sacrifice, another sacrifice that's already been slaughtered at that time. So that in our mind's eye, it's as if this wine offering was separated or was dedicated to that second sacrifice, namely that sacrifice which had already been slaughtered at the time of the first sacrifice. So they won't come to think in general that the transfer from one sacrifice to another is acceptable as matter of course. Question. But let's say another sacrifice is not slaughtered at the time that the first one is found to be deficient. What are you going to say then? Nifsal belina, that the wine will become posel belina. In other words, the wine will be left around, you won't be able to do anything with it, and it'll become posel belina. Well, if that be the case, aditoni seifa, instead of the seifa teaching im lav yifsalu belina, that if there's no other sacrifice, then it will become posel by simply being left over. Liflog velisni bedida, stay within the realm of yes sacrifices and teach as follows. Bamed v'mamurim, when do we say that the wine can be used? Shoyso zevach zavuach boisesha, where there was another sacrifice previously slaughtered at the time that the first that our sacrifice became posel. Aval ein zevach zavuach ba'oisesha lo. If there isn't another sacrifice that was already sacrificed, even though there may be other sacrifices around, then the wine cannot be used. The question then is, why in showing a case where the wine is not used, it simply talks about a case where there is no other sacrifice. What we're suggesting now is you can stay within the realm of presence of multiple sacrifices, and even within that situation, even within that same situation, we can draw distinctions. The Gemara answers, Hachi Nami Ko'omar. In fact, what you just suggested is what is stated. Bamed v'mumurim, when do we say that the wine can be used for a second sacrifice? Shozev azavua b'oisesha, where there was another sacrifice that was previously slaughtered at that same time. The same time that the korban to which the wine was dedicated was found to be posel. If, however, there is no previously slaughtered sacrifice at that time, then it's as if the wine is nifsal belina, namely, you have a situation now where the wine won't be able to be used, so it's as if it became posel belina and upsulim, and the wine is simply unfit. Up till this point, We have been explaining the Mishnah in order to enable Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon to fit in as being an author. In order to enable him to fit in, we had to point out that there was no chisaron in the Zrika because of Kol Ha'omed Lizro Kezoro Domi. And that idea was authored by Rabbi Shimon, the father of Elazar Rabbi Shimon. In the course of the discussion, you can see toward the upper part of our page, there's a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. We had mentioned that the reason that the wine could be used for another korban was because of Lev Beis Din Masna Alehem. The Beis Din made a condition that if it's not used for a first korban, it will be used for a second korban. And all of this was part of a Mishnah that we explained with Rabbi Shimon in mind. So at this point, the Gemara asks, Umi Islay the Rabbi Shimon, Lev Beis Din Masalam, does Rabbi Shimon, upon whom we have based the explanation of our Mishnah, does he really hold from this concept? And this concept was introduced in order to explain our Mishnah. So, if our Mishnah is going to conform to Rabbi Shimon, as we said, it can be understood according to Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon, who subscribes to his father's approach. What about the fact that Rebbe Shimon doesn't seem to hold from Leiv Bez and Masna Lehem? So that once again, we read again the question, Umiyas Leiv Rebbe Shimon, Leiv Bez and Masna Lehem, does Rebbe Shimon hold from that? V'ho Omar Rav Idi Bar Ovin, Omar of Amram, Omar of Yitzhak, Omar of Yochanan, Temidim Shalahutzruchu Litzibor, V'divrei Rebbe Shimon, Ein Niftin Temimin. A little background is necessary to appreciate the case. Temidim are sacrifices that are brought on a daily basis in the morning and the afternoon. There was a supply of temidim. It was always a 3-4 day supply of temidim. Temidim are sacrifices, we said, are brought daily, and they're purchased from a given year's fiscal funds from the that were gathered by the Beis HaMikdash. Every year, the funds used to purchase these sacrifices must be from the newly gathered funds of that particular year. By the end of the year, since we said there's always a margin of excess in the Beis HaMikdash of animals needed for the Korban Talmid, we say like a 4-day lead, when you get to the end of a year, which is specifically the end of the month of Adar, when you get to the end of the month of Adar, you're going to have a few animals that were on deck waiting to be offered as Korban Tumids, but since they're not you're at the end of Adar and Nisan, the next month, represents the new fiscal year, those animals, since they were bought with the previous year's monies, are not suitable to be used as Korban, as the Korban Tumid, as Nisan comes upon us. So the Rabbi Yochanan teaches that Temidim Shalahutzruchu Litzibor, those are the animals we just described that are not going to be used by the public. According to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Ein Niftin Temimim, they cannot be redeemed unblemished. Generally speaking, a sacrifice cannot be redeemed unless it develops a blemish. If it doesn't have a blemish, it cannot be redeemed. Now, if Rebbe Shimon held by the concept of Leiv Bez and Masna Lehem, so there would be a very convenient condition with regard to the dedication of these animals, namely, those animals that are used have sanctification, those animals that are not used are not bound by the standard halachas of redeeming, and therefore could be redeemed even without a blemish. And yet he doesn't say that. Rabbi Shimon will eventually, his opinion with regard to those extra animals is that they're set out to graze until they develop a blemish. There's another opinion that we've put in brackets, but they are to be de-emphasized because the sugya surrounds right now Rabbi Shimon. And it says, "L'divrei chachamim niftin tamimim." According to the chachamim who argue on Rabbi Shimon, these animals that are not necessary for the tamidim because of the fact that the fiscal year lapsed, the rabbonin say, the chachamim hold, they can be redeemed even unblemished, which is, as we said, a rather unusual halacha, but that would be the outgrowth of a condition that's built in. The question, once again, is according to Rabbi Shimon, who said, Ein niftin tamimim by those tamim shalutzruchu litzibor, and that Ein niftin tamimim reflects his position that we don't say Leiv Bez in Masna Lehem, that a court condition can be self-understood or built in. Because if Leiv Bez in Masna Lehem would be understood here, then we would be like the Chachamim that say they can be redeemed even without a blemish. The Gemara answers, Shaini Hossa, meaning in general, Rabbi Shimon will hold from Leiv Bez in Masna Lehem. And that explanation could be applied to the case of the wine that was dedicated to Korban 1, and Korban 1 having a problem can then be transferred to Korban 2. However, here with the Temidim that were Lohutzuchu Litzibor, this is different. Shaini Hosam, the Islu Takanta Biraya. there's another solution. Instead of coming on to activating a self-understood court condition, simply have these animals set out to graze in the fields until they develop a blemish, at which point they can be legitimately redeemed as Balei Mum, which is standard procedure. And I don't have to rely on this rather novel idea of Lev Beis Din to allow a redemption in an unblemished state. As we said before, that itself is a very unusual situation, of which in principle cannot be done. So that instead of activating this rather, we'll call it extreme contingency plan, Rabbi Shimon opts to use the more standard solution, namely set it out to graze until it develops a mum, and then it can be redeemed. Those tamidim shel utzrim sibuk can then be redeemed as normal course. The Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, let's glance at our topic heading. We've entitled this sugya as sugay, and we put it in quotation marks because it's the word, it literally means different varieties of toda, but we're going to be talking about different toda, korban toda related matters, the lo boi lechem, cases involving or surrounding a korban toda that do not generate the need for bread. As we said at the opening of our shiur, the korban toda is characterized by 40 loaves that accompany it. However, there are toda related situations where there is no bread requirement. We have listed with numbers at the beginning of the Mishnah. We have three cases that are featured with numbers. Vlad Toida, Utumurasa, Vahamafrish Toida Vavda, Vivshachos Tachtea. These cases, Eino to Uno Lechem. Now let's go over them. The Vlad Toda, a person set aside a pregnant animal as his Korban Toda. The offspring, and we're talking about a case where it's born, and the mother is slaughtered as the korban toda, the vlad can be brought as a korban. It will not require breads, even though it comes from an animal that was a korban toda that did require breads. Tumurasa is a standard situation, or it's actually an improper thing to do, but it's a case where someone replicates the sanctity of one korban onto a chulin animal. And he says, he stands a korban toda next to a mundane chulin animal and says, regarding the chulin animal, I want it to be like this. That's tumura. Now that's an avera to do. If one does it though, the replicate animal is brought and to the Beis HaMikdash and slaughtered as well. But even though it's the tumur of a toda, it does not need bread. The hamafrish, the third example, was someone who set aside a toda. It got lost, and he set aside another toda, a replacement toda. So we say that if he uses the replacement one with 40 loaves, the first one that he finds will not need the loaves. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "V'ikriv al zevach hatoida, hatoida tuna lechem." The basic korban toda requires lechem, v'lo vlada, v'lo chilufa, v'lo tumurasa, tunin lechem. But all of these other contingency cases do not require lechem. Not the vlad, not the case of the offspring, not the case of someone. The chilufa is like the case we described above. Someone set aside a korban toda, got lost, he set aside a new one, then found the old one. When he brings one of them as his korban toda breads, the other one does not need breads. And the Mishnah says, velo tumurasa to unin lechem, nor the case of tumura will that replicate type korban toda need lechem. Tano Rabbanon. We have a Tanaic source. This Tanaic source will darshan a pasuk that we've recorded on the inside margin. Vayikra Perek Zayin Pasuk Yud Beis. It says in the pasuk, Im al toido yakrivenu, vikriv al zevach hatoido, chalois matzos bluos b'shemen, etc. the Braisa. Tanu Rabbanan, Mahu Omer Toido Yakriv. The Rashi explains in a more elaborate fashion, but we have an extra expression. What is it coming to teach me? Minayin Lamafrish Toidoso. The expression will be the solution to the following question. From where do I know? Someone who sets aside a korban toda, vifrish v'ovdo, and the animal I set aside got lost, vifrish achris tachteal, and I set aside a replacement animal. V'nimtzei sarishon, and the first one was found, v'arishtein omdos, the first animal was found, and they're both present, they're both together. Minayin sheizish mech yutzu yakriv v'lach mimo, from where do we know that the owner has the option of choosing either one to serve as his korban toda, and together with it, he will bring the breads. Talmud Lomar, ha toda yakriv. The teaching that we just had, which that the man can choose either one, that the Loshin was minayin she ezimem she yutzi yakriv. That point, you have the choice, is learned from this expression, HaToido Yakriv, which is mashma, any Todo that you want, any one that you want, meaning if you have the situation of one of getting lost and then finding it, and in the meantime having replaced it, so you have two animals, we're telling you here, any one you like, either one. Yochol Shetei Shniyotun Alechem, should we say that the second animal that I will bring will also require breads? Answer, Talmud Lomar Yakrivenu, which equals Echad Veloshlaim. Only one Korban Toda requires breads, and not the second one. The second one, of course, under our circumstances. The Gemara continues, the Braisa continues, Achar Shiriba Kosovu Miyet, after the Pasuk was inclusive, when it said Hatoda Yakriv, and then was Memayit, it said Yakrivenu, one and not two. Minayin Rabois Vlodois Vachlifos Utmuros Lakrova. From where do I know to include these others as being subject to Hakrova, that they can be offered? What are we driving at? We said that these are excluded from the need for bread. And we also said that you can offer either one you want. Well, how do I know that these, for example, the Vlad Toda or the Tumura, can be offered? Talmud Lomar, Im Al Toda. The expression Al indicates that there are others that can be offered as well. And those include the Vlad Todo and the Tumura, etc. Yochel Yutunos Lechem. Once I say that Al Todo includes the cases of the Vlad and the Khalifos and Tumuros, will they require bread? Talmud Lomar V'ikriv Al Zevach HaToido. And from this we darshan, Toido Tuno Lechem, V'ein V'loi V'loda V'lo Chilufa V'lo Tumurosa Tu'unin Lechem. That only the Toda requires Lechem, and not these other variations, if you will. The Vlad, the offspring, and the Chilufo, the case where one got lost and found, and the replacement was set aside and the original was found. And you choose one, the other one does not need bread. Velo, Tumrosa, and we explained that before. With that, we conclude our Shi'ur for today.